The New Testament reading this morning is from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from the heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now, there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native tongue of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and the residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jew and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deed of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea, and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great, glorious, and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Good morning. So, wanted to introduce Andy Lunt. I don't need to introduce Andy Lunt, do I? So you know him really, really well. So he's our pastor emeritus. I asked him some months ago to put together Glenmar's story. You know, he was here as your pastor for 34 years. There's nobody that knows your story better than he does. And so about change, what does it mean to go through change? What have you experienced? How has the Holy Spirit empowered you through all these various times in the church's life? Through the years up until and including today. So he did that. He shared that with some of us, and then I asked him to go ahead and put that into a sermon so that everybody, you all could hear and experience that, and that's what we're doing this morning. So it's also a part of our emphasis on ministry and mission and our commitment to that as we're heading towards that in a few weeks. So I wanted to also put it into this context of what does it mean to be the church? This is Pentecost. We are being the church today, and Andy's going to help us tell our story and really immerse ourselves in what God is doing, has done, is doing, and will do in Glenmar. Thanks. Thanks, Andy.
Thank you, Rod. Pentecost was one of three pilgrimage festivals for the Jewish community, which meant that it was one of three times during the year when all Jews who were able were expected to make a pilgrimage to Jerusalem, which explains why there were people in Jerusalem at this time speaking a lot of different languages. They had come from many different places. The remarkable thing about the story is that each of them, no matter what language they spoke, heard the apostles telling about the power of God and God's love for them. Now, the apostles were given that ability by the Holy Spirit to proclaim God's love. They weren't given the ability to talk about the weather. They weren't given the ability to tell personal stories. They were given the ability specifically to do what God was calling them to do. And that began a pattern, a story, if you will, which continues today, in which God provides for God's people whatever is required to enable them to do what God is calling them to do. And Glenmar, like churches all over the world, has become a part of that story. So today we're going to talk about the ways that God has provided and equipped the disciples called Glenmar through our long history. Now at Glenmar, we have experienced a lot of change. If there's one thing that the people of Glenmar know about, it's change. At various times, I remember people saying, the only thing that's constant around here is change. Change, as we all know, can be disruptive. Change can be divisive. It can set people against each other, because one of the things that we've learned as the church has gotten larger is that everything we do upsets someone. That's literally true, folks. I mean, the thing that someone thinks is the greatest thing since sliced bread, someone else will think is the work of the devil. So every time change occurs, it's a challenge for the church to be together as the body of Christ and to use that change as an opportunity to move forward in mission and in ministry. Now, Glenmar began as a congregation in 1954, more than 60 years ago. But the story of rapid change actually began about 40 years ago. In the late 1970s, there was a time when the congregation had gone through some hard times, and there were maybe 50 people on a good Sunday in worship attendance. You'd be an overflowing crowd this morning in the Glenmar of those days. And about 40 years ago or so, a period of rapid growth began. One of the changes was growing and receiving many new members. Now, the first 4 years after I retired from Glenmar, I was called to serve as director of congregational development for the Baltimore-Washington Conference. It was a time when Pastor Rod and I had the opportunity to work together as colleagues on the conference staff. I had the opportunity to relate to nearly 700 churches, and I learned during that time that every church says they want to grow. What they really mean is, we want more people to come help us do what we've always done the way we've always done it. And when new people come into a community, it usually doesn't work that way. When new people come to a community, things change. That was the first challenge for the Glenmar congregation. After years of being a small country church, suddenly we had to accommodate all these new people who were coming in with new ideas, new expectations, and new ways of doing things. Well, as the attendance began to swell, Glenmar renovated the original 1955 sanctuary. And that was a challenge, because people had been accustomed for more than 25 years of worshiping in this little sanctuary with knotty pine walls. As someone said to me, it looks like someone's club basement. Now, this was in the 70s, of course, and knotty pine walls were all the rage in the club basements. Well, when people came in and saw that the walls had been changed to white, that was a little bit disruptive and disorienting for people. On top of that, there had been the chancel area at that time was behind where the preacher preached from. The chancel area was enlarged a little bit, and one of the things that happened was there had been a big clock hanging right there, big office clock, right behind the preacher. I thought, well, what's it there for? Because I can't see it. But the congregation could, and so they would know when the preacher was going a little long. Well, in the renovation, the clock moved to the back, and eventually it disappeared. Now, there's a clock back there that clearly tells me what time it is, so don't worry, we'll be okay this morning. You can't see it, but I can. But today, of course, we have our watches and our phones and all that good stuff. So that renovation was a little bit disorienting. One of the strategic moves that came to the congregation was a decision to intentionally reach into the new community of Columbia. Now, at that time, Glenmar had very few members who lived in Columbia, even though it was growing up less than a half a mile from the location of the church. Glenmar was still pretty much a congregation of people who had been in Howard County a long time. And they were suspicious of the people who lived in this new town of Columbia. Somebody had come in and bought up all that farmland, and now they were building houses on it. And folks weren't especially happy about that, including some of the folks in the Glenmar congregation. In a very strategic move, the congregation decided not only to proclaim their openness to people who lived in Columbia, but to sell the old parsonage, which was across the street from the church, and plant the new pastor and his family in Columbia, to say in a very visible way, we have a stake in Columbia, as well as in Howard County. Now, it wasn't universally popular, I'm sure. It was another of those changes that stretched the congregation to trust in God and the power of the Holy Spirit. But it did happen. And then, as a result of the more people coming in from Columbia and other places, it became necessary to start a second worship service. Well, in those days, some of you may recall, worship only happened at 11 o'clock. That was God's sacred hour for worship. And so to start a second worship service, again, was disruptive for the congregation because suddenly we might not see all of our friends on Sunday morning because they would go to the other service. But again, God provided, and the congregation sailed through that change as well. In 1982, it became necessary to add to the staff. And so the second pastor, actually in this case two pastors, who filled one role were added to the staff in 1982. Some of you who have been here since then will remember Ken Brown and Sandra Thomas. A husband and wife team became the first associate pastor team at Glenmar. And that meant the congregation had to get to know new pastors. And that was a challenge as well. And then in 1988, things were going so well. We're skipping a few years here because I only have, 17 to 20 minutes. So we can't cover every year. But by the time 1988 rolled around, a very significant change occurred. And the members of the choir will remember this one especially well. That was when the congregation decided to add a full-time director of music ministry. A full-time music minister. Up until that time, Glenmar had had only part-time staff other than the pastors. That's a decision that was a leap of faith because there wasn't money in the budget for that position. But the congregation chose to look ahead, to trust that God would provide, and as we now know, it was a move that more than paid for itself because the music ministry of Glenmar Church, the result of the ministry of Cary Grahams and now Sophie, has been one of the primary benefits that we enjoy as we come to worship. And it's brought in new people, and it's filled many people with a sense of God's love and God's presence. But it was a leap of faith at the time, because the money wasn't in the budget. Well, the growth continued, and it became necessary then to build a larger sanctuary. Ground was broken in 1987 on the same site. And in 1989, in November, the congregation moved into the new sanctuary. And again, while it was a great time of celebration, it was very disruptive and very disorienting. In particular, people who had had their pew in the old church weren't quite sure where they were going to sit because the configuration was different. The original sanctuary was long and narrow. One middle aisle. This was octagonal, and it had several aisles. What it didn't have, and this was disruptive too, was a center aisle. And so the mothers of brides were not especially happy that the new church, the new sanctuary, did not have a center aisle. All those changes represented challenge to the congregation. But again, God provided. And the congregation began to adjust to life in the new sanctuary. And then a decision was made to start a third worship service. That in itself was bad enough, but this service was a contemporary service. And for some people, that was not the way Christians worship. There was one way to worship, and it was traditional. And there was a lot of resistance. We would say to people, well, you don't have to attend that service. We still will have two traditional services. But they were upset that the church was actually giving its support to this new way of worshiping. But that service, as you now know, has continued to grow. And actually today, and for the last number of years, more new people come into Glenmar through that contemporary service than any of the other services. It was a way that God was providing, and we were just a little slow to discover that this was a way that God was providing for the church to continue to do what God had always been calling it to do, and that is to reach new people for Jesus. Well then, just to make everybody unhappy, the worship times were changed. All the worship times. There were no winners, no losers. Everybody had to adjust to a new worship time. In all my years in ministry, probably the most challenging thing that can happen in a congregation, at least for the pastor, is to change the worship times, because nobody is happy. The church survived. And then a new pastor was added. In 1991, a third pastor was added to the staff. Well, that was a good thing, but it was another challenge for the congregation because the new pastor was a person of color. And up until that point, that had not been part of Glenmar's experience. Pastor Willie Armstrong was named to the staff in 1991. And the congregation was faced with having to adapt to that. Now, today, when you look at the congregation, you wouldn't have a clue that that would have been challenging. But at the time, in 1991, it was. But again, God provided, and the congregation moved on. In fact, God called upon the congregation through the district superintendent to adopt a second congregation, a struggling congregation named Alberta Gary Memorial on Guilford Road, just south of Columbia, was about to close their doors. And the superintendent asked if Glenmar would take it on and provide pastoral leadership. So now we had three pastors, but they were having to spread themselves over two congregations. And that was a challenge because about 50 Glenmar members committed themselves to leave Glenmar for at least a year and worship at Alberta Gary to provide a nucleus of people that would help to attract others. Well, it worked because Alberta Gary by 1997 was strong enough to become independent again. And some of the people who left to go to Alberta Gary stayed at Alberta Gary. And so Glenmar was bereft of their presence, but the kingdom was enhanced because they had followed God's call. And God provided for both congregations. Perhaps the most significant change, the most far-reaching, long-lasting change in Glenmar's story occurred when the congregation determined in 1993 to begin a three-year strategic planning process. Dan Kagi, who is still a member, Joe Kirk, who has moved with his wife to North Carolina, headed up this strategic planning process. It began with a full year of Bible study and prayerful discernment. The entire congregation engaged in a year-long Bible study and time of prayer and discernment, trying to discern what God was calling the congregation to be and to do. Well, the outcome, there were really three primary outcomes of that strategic planning process. First, there was an awareness that everyone, not just the paid staff, are called and gifted by God to be in ministry. And the second was an understanding that the blessings that we have received from God are really God's way of equipping us to do the ministry to which God has called us. And the third outcome was that a new mission statement was born. And you know it. The mission statement that was adopted in 1996 is the one that we see every Sunday morning. And you know it, don't you? You're going to tell me what it is, right? Praising God, growing disciples, serving the world. That was God's call to Glenmar in 1996, and it continues to be God's call to Glenmar today. And as a result of that new awareness, that new understanding, that new mission statement, MOVE began to empower members of the congregation, to empower laity to do ministry. A very significant change, and it sets Glenmar apart even today. The fact that the only thing the pastors do on Sunday morning here is preach is very unique if you attend many other services. The fact that if you are in the hospital or sick at home, the person who visits you is more likely than not another member of the congregation who has been gifted and called and trained for that ministry. The fact that nearly all of the ministries of the church are led by members of the congregation is very unique. But these are people whom God has called and empowered to do ministry. But getting used to that was not easy, especially if you were the one in the hospital and the one who expected the pastor to show up and pray with you. It took some getting used to, but today it's one of the great strengths of Glenmar because God provided through the Holy Spirit not only to help the people who were doing ministry to do it, but to help those who were receiving to recognize the value. And along the way, there was a transition in the way that leadership occurred because so many people were now engaged in doing ministry, there weren't as many people to do the kind of decision-making that took place in committees. At one time, Glenmar had more than 365 people serving on committees, and we were proud of it. And people would spend all their time in committees, and they would plan these wonderful events, and then nobody would be left with time or energy to actually do what the committees had planned. So today, as you know, fewer people get together in meetings to plan, and more people are actually in the field, in the church, in the city, at the workplace, in the schools, doing ministry, because that's where God has called us to be. Well, the changes certainly continued. And in 1998, some significant hiring decisions were made. Three full-time staff were added at one time. Talk about a leap of faith for the budget. One was the full-time minister for operation, Al Hammer at the time, Barb Julian today. The second was the first full-time director of children's ministries, Joni Barrett at that time, Margaret Lang today. And the third was the person who will become the senior member of the staff when Estelle retires, D.C. Veal, who at the time was the director of youth and young adult ministries. All that happened in 1998, and the congregation suddenly had to accommodate all these new people. Well, D.C.'s presence certainly led, I think, to the reaching out in mission trips, which has become a hallmark of Glenmar's life and service. And so that came along. I missed one, didn't I? I missed expanding by building new parking. There's a brief story about that, which I will take the time to tell, since my time is still okay. In order to expand parking, with the new sanctuary, the congregation expanded the seating in the sanctuary, but didn't add any new parking places. Well, that soon created a problem. People were parking way down the street, way down the road, in order to come to church, and they didn't like that. Montgomery Meadows was developing new houses right next to Glenmar's property, and the congregation went to Montgomery Meadows developers and said, we'd like to buy three lots for additional parking. The developer was glad to sell them. What we didn't know at the time was that there were covenants that said that the lots could only be used for single-family housing. It was a requirement that Glenmar, in order to build parking lot instead of houses, had to get the approval of 95% of the homeowners in Montgomery Meadows. Now, can you imagine getting 95% of people to agree on anything? This was truly a miracle and a sign of God's power and God's leading, because that was accomplished. 98% of the homeowners agreed, and Glenmar was able to build the parking. And that gave us the opportunity then to reach out through mission trips, which began with the youth and is still being led by the youth, and then to another major and gut-wrenching and heart-wrenching decision, the decision to sell the Glenmar Road property where the church had been for so long and to purchase a new property. This was the property and it was purchased in the year 2000. Ground was broken in 2004. In July of 2004, ground was broken on this property. From 2000 until 2008, Easter sunrise services were held here. It was a very exciting, but a very disruptive time for the congregation. And finally, in 2008, it came time to move. Some of you were there. 300 people began worship in the Glenmar Road Sanctuary, and then the cross, which had hung over that chancel, was taken down and carried by hand. It hangs out here in the gathering place today. It was carried by hand from that site a little over a mile to this site, and 700 people gathered in this room for the first worship service. And again, they had to find their seat because this was really different. But the amazing thing about that move and the way that it demonstrates God's power is that this is a congregation, and I will always be in awe and gratitude for the members of the Glenmar congregation who decided to leave behind a beautiful sanctuary, stained glass windows, big cross, fully paid for, and to move for the sake of mission and ministry to this site where we could reach more people with God's love. That was a huge step, and it required a lot of help from God and the Holy Spirit. Well, after the move in 2008, things began to happen, and the extending of ministry to the community really began to happen in a big way, because it was then that we were able to do things on this site that hadn't been possible in the previous site. Things like Walk to Bethlehem, things like the Early Learning Center, things like the Day of Service. Those are what God has called the congregation to be about, and that, I think, is probably why God provided this place here. So we've been through a lot of change at Glenmar, and a lot of that has been change in size. Glenmar started as a family church, which is a church of 50 or fewer. That's a church where everybody knows everybody else and half of them are related. Moved on to a pastor-sized church, which is a church where the pastor does everything and the pastor knows everybody. Moved to a program church where everybody is, that's where we had 365 people working on committees, where everything is focused on the programs. The Glenmar of today is what's known as a corporate church, big church, where nobody, including the lead pastor, can know everyone or everything that's happening, where ministry is diverse and lots of people are engaged in ministry. And then in 2010, another disruptive change occurred when the long-tenured pastor retired, and we said goodbye. But then in 2014, the congregation invited us back to be a pastor emeritus, for which I'm incredibly grateful. And in 2010, there was a process of welcoming the incoming pastor, Matt Poole. And now, 8 years later, we find ourselves welcoming and receiving Pastor Rod Miller as the pastor for this time of transition. And Rod and I have been colleagues and friends for at least 20 years, and I want to say to you there is no one better equipped to provide the kind of leadership that will enable Glenmar to move through this difficult time of transition than Rod. He is, again, an example of God providing. And so now we find ourselves anticipating who God will send, who God will provide for Glenmar's future. From 1954 to today, God has provided Bill Hofhines, Jack Dawson, Harry Bennett, George Blankner, Daryl Jett, Bill Apsley, Andy Lunt, Matt Poole, Rod Miller. And God will just as surely provide the next pastor to lead Glenmar into the future. For I'm absolutely convinced, and Glenmar's history demonstrates, that whenever an individual or a congregation is seeking to do what God is calling them to do, God will provide whatever it takes. God will provide the gifted people. God will provide the leader. God will provide a piece of property if that's what it takes. God will provide through the Holy Spirit for the people of God to do what God is calling them to do. So while this is an anxious time for us, it is a time when we are called not to worry about who will be coming to lead the congregation. What we ought to be worrying about is that we continue to focus on doing what God is calling us to do, with the assurance that if we are doing that, God will provide whatever and whoever it takes. Amen.